In talking to authors on this program, we regularly hear them credit a book's success to the word of mouth from terrific independent booksellers. We've put aside each time, each Tuesday, to celebrate the region's independence and have them bring us to new places. Connie Brooks of Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, is here with some wonderful suggestions. Connie, it's always a delight to see you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me in. It's
always
great to be here.
A pleasure. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I have a lot of great books to talk about, but I thought that I would start with two books that actually go on sale today. So you're hopefully hearing about them for pretty much the first time. And the first book I brought in is called The Burgess Boys by Elizabeth Strout. Strout came out with a highly acclaimed Olive Kitteridge in 2008, which a lot of people will remember, and that later won the Pulitzer Prize. We return to the setting of Maine in The Burgess Boys, and she lives in Maine, so that makes sense. The story is basically this. The two Burgess brothers, Jim and Bob, have left their main hometown behind, both to become lawyers in New York City. Jim, a hotshot Manhattan attorney, and Bob, a much more humble legal aid lawyer. The brothers have a lifetime's worth of tensions between them. Jim is a domineering bully to Bob's oafish, unassertive self. Both of their lives are upended when their sister, Susan, calls them back home due to a family emergency. Her teenage son has committed an unbelievable crime. He has defiled a Somali mosque by throwing a frozen pig's head into the house of worship. Mm-hmm. Simmering tensions between the siblings begin to emerge in unexpected ways, and a long-ago family tragedy also comes back to haunt them. Strout is known for her deep sympathy and compassion for all of her characters, and The Burgess Boys is a really engrossing read.
The Burgess Boys by Elizabeth Strout. I do enjoy her work. It's good stuff. So The Burgess Boys is the new novel and out today. Also out today
is a book called Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald by Therese Ann Fowler. And I know a lot of people are going to be interested in reading this. Much has been written about the relationship between Zelda and F. Scott Fitzgerald, but few books have focused intently on just Zelda. But Therese Ann Fowler's new novel about Zelda Fitzgerald does just that. Following the Southern Belle from Alabama to her marriage to Fitzgerald to her time as a mental patient before her untimely death at age 47. When beautiful, reckless Southern Belle Zelda Sayre meets F. Scott Fitzgerald at a country club dance in 1918, she is 17 years old and he is a young Army lieutenant stationed in Alabama. Zelda falls for him despite his unsuitability. Scott isn't wealthy or prominent or even a Southerner. Her father is deeply unimpressed. But after Scott sells his first novel to Scribner's, Zelda boards a train north to marry him in New York and take the rest as it comes. Of course, the two become legends in their own time, and their relationship was tumultuous and scandalous. "We ruined ourselves," F. Scott once wrote. "I have never honestly thought that we ruined each other." This book, though, is Zelda's story, as she herself might have told it, imbued with author Fowler's own insights and imagination.
It is, I find this whole period fascinating.
It's
and just
a great
really
period.
Neat
yes.
story.
Yes.
Therese Ann Fowler is the author of Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald, again, out today.
Out today. Now, two that have been out, a month or two or something like that, but two that I enjoyed very much and I noticed hadn't been mentioned on Book Picks in the past week, so in the past couple of weeks, so I wanted to be sure to mention them. And the first is a book called Me Before You by Jojo Moyes, and you may have been hearing a lot about this book. And if you haven't picked it up yet, I really recommend that you do. It's the story of a young, wealthy Londoner, Will Traynor, who is at the top of his game, personally and professionally, who becomes a quadriplegic after a horrific accident. Believing his life is no longer worth living, Will has made plans to kill himself at an assisted suicide facility in Switzerland where it is legal to do so. During this emotionally fraught time, his parents, and they've kind of removed them to their country home, his parents hire a local girl, Louisa Clark, to care for Will during the day. Louisa is the opposite of Will in many ways. She's unworldly, uncultured, and untraveled, but she proves to be a match to his wit, and the two form an unlikely friendship. When Louisa learns of Will's intention to end his life, she commences a plan that aims to change Will's mind and show him all there is to live for. And all this may sound rather grim, but I promise that Me Before You will have you turning the pages eagerly as the surprising love between Will and Louisa tenderly develops on the page. The book also raises topics we often don't dare broach. Quality of life as a disabled person and heartbreaking questions around someone's desire to end their life after they've had an illness or are suffering from an injury. So,
Me Before You by JoJo Moyes, and I know that this is superficial, but I'll mention it anyway. I got a lot of books here, and this is one of those books that I chose because of the cover. Mm-hmm. It was a very cool cover.
It's a great cover. Yeah. But it doesn't tell you what the book's about.
Absolutely
it's very
not, which is
enigmatic.
Why I was curious about it, and it was just a great job. And I picked it up, and I suddenly became like enthralled, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
My superficial moment. Okay. one of many, I know, but still. Let us go on.
Okay. Next is The Painted Girls by Kathy Marie Buchanan. And The Painted Girls is set in Paris in the 1870s and tells the story of the young woman who became the muse for Edgar Degas as he was creating his famous little dancer statue, which everyone knows. It's the story of Marie, the model, but also that of her older sister, Antoinette. The girls are desperately poor. Their mother works as a laundress and their father is dead. And there are few avenues open to them which would raise them out of poverty. But one that is open to them is to dance at the Paris Opera. Of course, this path requires a tremendous amount of hard work, long hours, and not uncommonly the assistance of male patrons who are sometimes less than scrupulous. Marie acquires one of these patrons, but she also attracts the attention of the artist Edgar Degas. And she models for him, not knowing if the sculpture in her likeness will ever see the light of day. And meanwhile, Antoinette, the older sister, has taken a role in a play written by Emile Zola, but she's fallen for a man who's also in the play, who will later be charged with murder in a case that would become notorious in Paris. And I just love The Painted Girls.
The Painted Girls by Kathy Marie Buchanan.
Next is a nonfiction choice and a delightful one, and it's also just out, maybe last week. The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Greatest Drinks by Amy Stewart. Amy Stewart's also brought us books, Wicked Plants a couple years ago, Wicked Bugs. So she loves kind of delving into the natural world. So in this book, think about alcoholic drinks, and you know the obvious ones. Wine is derived from grapes, beer from barley and hops. And then there are the drinks that we don't think about as often. Sake begins with rice, tequila comes from the agave plant, rum from sugar cane, and bourbon from corn and other grains. And in her new book, The Drunken Botanist, Stewart explores the amazing variety of flowers, herbs, fruits, trees, and even fungi that people have turned into alcoholic drinks throughout history. Pretty much anything can be fermented and distilled, and if it can be, some human somewhere has tried to do it. And Stewart covers even the bizarre and dangerous drinks that humans have concocted. It's a tremendously fun book to read. Stewart combines anecdotes with history and science, and she throws in plenty of drink recipes and tips for gardeners. And she owns an antiquarian bookshop, I think out in California, and the book, it kind of imbues the book. It looks like an
it's
old.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous. All of those books, actually. The, mm-hmm. the Wicked
yeah,
Bugs,
they're a delight
the Wicked
just
Plants.
To hold and open.
And Algonquin does a great job publishing them. They do really nice. They're nice books. But she was on the show last week, and she just has this, the wicked sense of humor. But it's wild. But the book is fascinating because, as you say, things that you, you just regularly hear about or even, drink, you don't know the full story, and it's fascinating.
It's
really,
we
were talking last week about, you don't think that Douglas fir is involved, but yes, it is. And it's just
is.
Really neat
right.
stuff.
Are you drinking a gin that has a little bit of, a fir in it? And a lot of liqueurs and things like that. What goes into those, the herb mix and things, the companies aren't going to tell you. Those are carefully guarded secrets.
Right.
And really
yet, for the most part, all natural. I mean, I think that's the other fact when you're talking about mm-hmm. this. I mean, obviously, there are exceptions to this, many exceptions,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
Often it's just the most natural form of that fermentation of using like weird stuff.
Right. And even, people always say Guinness. The secret behind Guinness is one of the most carefully guarded secrets supposedly, you know, in the world. No one really knows how to recreate Guinness.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
My husband's trying. But.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to try it. I don't know if I just keep drinking. I don't know if I care that much anymore. Next.
Next, just to round out the list today, I brought in two books for children. And the first is a book for ages maybe 9 to 13. And it's a book called The Expeditioners and the Treasure of Drowned Man's Canyon by S.S. Taylor. Parents and teachers might appreciate the underlying themes in this book of the mistreatment of natural resources and indigenous peoples. But young people reading the book are more likely to appreciate the idea that there are undiscovered places in the world and that maps are not a fixed thing. In the world of the expeditioners, computers have become obsolete and electricity is extinct. So the world has reverted to steam power and steampunk technology. Three orphan siblings, Kit, Xander, and MK, must break a code hidden in an old book to find half of a map left to them by their late father, who had opposed the oppressive government known as the Realm, and who died under mysterious circumstances. Full of codes to break, maps to decipher, and smart kid protagonists, The Expeditioners is a first-class adventure.
The Expeditioners and the Treasure of Drowned Man's Canyon.
And if that didn't sell you, I can't help you. I want to read that
good
book.
Good stuff.
And the last book I brought is a picture book, and it's called The Black Rabbit by Philippa Leathers. And I know Easter is less than a week away, so I wanted to bring in a book about a rabbit, but please don't think this book is in any way about the Easter Bunny. It is the story of a small white rabbit who steps out of his burrow one morning into the bright sunlight. All is well until the small white rabbit turns around to discover a large black rabbit towering over him. And at this point, every preschooler you read this book to will realize that the black rabbit is in fact the bunny's shadow. But the white rabbit does not, and he tries to run away and hide. He flees into the forest where a wolf discovers him and begins chasing him. When they emerge from the forest, the wolf is startled by the large black rabbit standing protectively over the small white rabbit, and he turns tail and runs away. The Black Rabbit is a simple story that reminds us that the things we fear the most are not always as scary as they seem.
Cool stuff. You know, shadows in children's book always work.
They
always
great.
Work.
They're great.
The Black Rabbit is certainly a seasonal pick, but something obviously you can enjoy year round. For more information on Bat & Co. Oh, do you have any events? Any cool things
We've
coming up?
We've got some cool stuff going on. Well, we're getting ready for World Book Night.
Yes.
Which happens next month, April 23rd, and that's a national effort where book givers go out into the world. They're given 20 books by publishers. They go out into the world and they give them away free at places like VA hospitals, supermarkets, banks, schools, all over the place, and we're a part of that. And we've got quite a group that'll be coming in to pick their books up, so that's always really exciting. We have a cafe opening in our block next week, Roundhouse Cafe and Bakery. So we're really excited about them. We have an event coming up for our Curiosity Forum with boat builder Ruben Smith, and he's going to discuss the restoration of several historic sailboats that sailed on Lake George and the Sound. And that happens April 21st at 4 o'clock. And then, of course, we get ready for our big bicycle race, the Tour of the Bat and Kill, which is the April 13th, 14th weekend. So
we're all eyes are on Cambridge.
All eyes are on Cambridge.
An awful lot of fun,
yes,
and you're right at the thick of it.
We're right in the heart of it. Yeah,
right in the finish line there.
We get people who are done racing, and they kind of stumble in and say, "Water."
Sweaty bikers in the bookstore. For more information on Bat and Kill books, you can go to their website, batandkillbooks.com. Better yet, visit them at 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York. It's a gorgeous store. Connie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
And again, you can find out more about the picks and all the great events that are coming up by going to batandkillbooks.com. We post every week's book picks list on our website as well, wamc.org. Coming up next, Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.